Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Well, we could do geoengineering, but should we? Join us as we continue to discuss this interesting article. Hey friends, welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. I'm Campbell, and in the studio with me, I have Rebecca. Hi, Rebecca.
Hey, Campbell. It's great to be back. I always enjoy being on your program.
Aw, thank you. Well, we have a very interesting article. There's so much to talk about in this article. We're talking about engineering the environment. Now, Rebecca, let me ask you, what was something that you picked up from yesterday's discussion?
From yesterday's discussion, I think one thing that I picked up was at the end of the program, we talked about the pros and cons of geoengineering.
Mm-hmm.
So there's definitely many good things, like perhaps we can reduce extreme heat, we can cause more rainfall, and then we can also cause less rainfall.
Mm-hmm.
And less heavy rainfall, and then we can reduce the rise of the sea. But at the same time, we learned that there's a lot of cons.
Mm-hmm.
Like at the same time, we can increase acid rain, we can thin out the ozone layer, and we can make droughts even worse in other parts of the world.
Right.
So I think one thing we learned yesterday was engineering is incredible. It's
mm-hmm.
done a lot for mankind, humankind.
Yeah.
But there are huge risks when we're doing it with the environment.
Yeah, yeah. So just as a quick review and reminder, basically the Earth is getting too hot, okay, because of the carbon emissions that we are sending up into the atmosphere, because of all the fossil fuels that we're burning and using. So the Earth is getting hotter and hotter and hotter. So scientists are thinking of ways that we can maybe cool the Earth. And we talked a little bit about some of those ways earlier. We talked about brightening clouds. We talked about growing seaweed and sinking them into the ocean, drilling holes in glaciers. But the most controversial one and the one that most people are talking about is this solar geoengineering. Now, can you remind everybody what are they talking about doing with this solar geoengineering?
With this solar engineering, they're thinking of basically shooting up aerosols. Yesterday we learned the word aerosol, which is basically just a mix of tiny particles that's
mm-hmm.
usually in a gas or liquid. In our example here, they will take lots of planes, and these planes will release these aerosols into the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
And when we release these aerosols into the atmosphere, it will basically create a shield that doesn't let sunlight in.
Right.
So that will cool down the Earth.
Yeah. Basically, if you think about it, you know, we talk about greenhouse effect, right? This greenhouse, a greenhouse is basically a glass house that kind of traps heat. Okay. And that's kind of what's happening with the Earth, is the Earth is getting, the heat is getting trapped. Now, these aerosols basically will act as, you know, a shade, like you said, or a shield, and they're going to tint the glass.
Yes.
So when you tint the glass becomes a little bit darker, so less sunlight comes in, and so it's just not going to be as hot.
Yeah, it'll just cool down.
Yeah, it'll cool down the Earth, which in theory is good, but again, we don't know what other issues might be caused by this.
Yes.
Right. Okay, so there is more to discuss here. So let's continue with the article and then we can debate a little bit more.
Once started, sun-deflecting aerosols must be shot into the sky every couple of years. If stopped, the Earth could experience rapid warming, also known as termination shock. It's an enormous burden on the future, said Raymond Pierre Humbert, a former University of Chicago professor who now works at Oxford University. How do you know these interventions are going to be doable for the next generation? What if there's a global war? Another pandemic? He is one of more than 500 scientists who have signed an open letter calling for an international non-use agreement on solar geoengineering. The signatories cite concern that there is no adequate governing body to determine fair and effective deployment of a technology that will require coordination between and touch every corner of the planet. Irvine, however, cautions that ignoring solar geoengineering may increase the risk of it being used irresponsibly. The more it's suppressed, the greater the risk of a single nation or small group of nations pushing ahead independently in desperation, he said.
All right, so on its merits, geoengineering sounds like a good idea. You can cool the earth, you can do different things, but there are a lot of different aspects to this, okay? One big thing is that once you start, you can't really stop. Why is that?
Yeah, the reason is if you stop, then the earth will suddenly get very hot again. Because, Campbell, yesterday you said it so well. Like, you said basically the earth has a fever. It's mm-hmm. like the earth has a fever. Mm-hmm. And basically, we are just taking a big Band-Aid and putting it on the fever or putting it on, or basically, sorry, not a Band-Aid. We are basically putting a cold blanket yeah. to try to cool it down.
Right.
But we are not addressing the root cause.
Yeah.
And the root cause is, why does it have a fever? Why does anybody have a fever?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody would have a fever because they have an infection of some kind.
Yeah.
So we're not addressing the root cause. And because we're not addressing the root cause by using the solar geoengineering, once you stop shooting these aerosols into the sky, we will have something called termination shock.
Mm-hmm.
And termination shock, termination, you think of Terminator, right? Just
right.
means to end. And a shock, you will get a shock because suddenly the earth has been cooled down and suddenly will become very hot again.
Yeah. And even hotter, probably, because,
yes.
you know, it's artificially cooled.
Yes.
And because it's artificially cooled, people might be like, okay, great, then we can burn more, do more, pollute more, whatever. And that might cause the earth to actually, you know, get hotter. But once you remove the cooling aspect of it, let's say, okay, for example, your house, you have AC, right? It's the middle of summer, your house is really hot. Right, you have AC. Now, all of a sudden, your AC breaks. The heat in your house is going to feel even more intense because you're used to the AC.
Yes.
Right? You're used to the cooler temperatures. But once the AC is broken, there's nothing cooling the house. All of a sudden, it might be the same temperature. It might be hotter than it used to be. But all of a sudden, you're going to feel the heat so much more.
Exactly.
You know, and that's what the termination shock here. Okay, now we hear from a man named Raymond Pierre Humbert, and he's a former University of Chicago professor who now works at Oxford University. And what does he say about this?
Well, he worries that these interventions, and yesterday we talked about interference, basically to intervene, to enter into something, I-N-T-E-R, this prefix, it just means to get involved. So this intervention, like it questions whether you can continue doing it continuously
right.
without stopping. And he gives examples. What if there's a global war mm-hmm. or another pandemic or just basically anything that means you cannot continue carrying out this very expensive process of shooting up aerosols into the sky.
Right. Because as we talked about, it's something you have to do. If you start, you have to continue. But what if the next generation can't continue for whatever reason? Or what if they refuse to continue?
Yeah. Or what if some key players decide, no, I don't want to do this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to shoulder the cost.
No. Yeah. So it becomes not just a scientific thing. It almost becomes a political thing as well.
Yeah.
Right.
And we know the history of cooperation in the world, right?
Yes.
The United Nations is not exactly working very well.
Exactly. Yeah. So this Raymond Pierre Humbert, he is one of more than 500 scientists who have signed an open letter. Basically, it's a letter written not to a specific person, just a letter written to people in general, calling for an international non-use agreement on solar geoengineering. That sounds like a very legal term. What is this non-use agreement?
Well, basically, the countries or the people who would sign this agreement, they agree that they won't use solar engineering. So it's kind of like nuclear weapons, right? Like in the world, we have agreements on, we have agreement against the spread of nuclear weapons. So if you sign on to it, that means you're not supposed to use nuclear weapons, or you're not supposed to help other countries develop nuclear weapons.
Yes, exactly. So he is one of more than 500 scientists who have signed this letter. Now we have the word signatory. Basically, he and these 500 scientists, they are all signatories. They are people that signed this letter. And what are the things that they are citing? What are some of the concerns that they've cited?
Well, first, there isn't a powerful governing body. So a governing body is basically, you can say, organization or association that oversees, like, how do you have fair and effective deployment? So we know what fair is. And effective deployment is means to use, or like to put into use of a technology that requires coordination, basically among all the countries of the world.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to use it fairly, all the countries should sign on.
Yeah. Well,
but there's
there's
no body that can oversee that. Like, you might say maybe the United Nations could do, but because of its limited power, could it actually enforce anything?
Yeah. Yeah. And as we talked about yesterday, you know, with Mount Tambora in Indonesia, when you do something like this, it doesn't just affect one country or one area. It actually affects the whole world.
Yes.
Right? Just how Mount Tambora, when it erupted, it caused lower temperatures in Europe and dim sunlight in the United States, basically on the other side of the planet, right? And so it is a global problem. So it can't just be, you know, one country decides to do it. You know, other countries will be involved as well. So there needs to be some sort of governing body that is international, that is, you know, from different countries. It's not just one country, and that's hard.
It's really hard. The governing bodies we have for different things right now, it's already very hard for them to work properly a lot of the time.
It's hard enough to get people to agree within a company.
Yes.
You know, to get every country to agree is going to be a challenge, right? Now, we go back to Peter Irvine here. Irvine, however, cautions that ignoring solar engineering may increase the risk of it being used irresponsibly, meaning we can't just sweep it under the rug. We can't just put it in the closet and just ignore it and just, as we said yesterday, keep it at arm's length and not talk about it, not discuss it, not study it. Because if you do that, someone inevitably is going to do it. And it's not going to be done well, right? The more it's suppressed, meaning the more it's pushed down or hidden, the greater risk of a single nation or small group of nations pushing ahead independently in desperation. What do we mean by in desperation?
So when desperation is just a noun for being desperate. So when you're desperate, you feel you've run out of solutions. So you will basically cling to anything. So I think of desperate as kind of like someone, maybe they have illness that no drug can solve.
Yeah.
And they're like, so they'll desperate, like somebody offers them a solution, they will go take it because they want to get well.
Right. So if we think about, you know, maybe one country or one group of nations, they feel that, you know, the earth is too hot and it's affecting their crops or it's affecting their way of life, they might try to do this independently without consulting other countries and just use it to help themselves.
Right.
But as we mentioned, when they do that, it affects other nations as well.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Now, we have another section here about opening up the discussion. So should we continue to suppress and sweep it under the rug or put it in the closet or whatever analogy you want to use, or should we actually open up the discussion? Let's read it and then we will discuss.
Opening up the discussion. So far, most research has been limited to computer modeling. While valuable, unforeseen variables are likely to make real-world scenarios more complex. Field research that would begin exploring these complexities has been difficult to get approved. two high-profile experiments, one in California and another in Sweden, were canceled in 2024 due to local opposition. Residents, including a Nordic indigenous tribe, expressed passionate concerns about potential impacts on weather patterns. Physicist David Keith, who was involved in the Sweden project, has spent his career guided by the conviction that the unknowns are all the more reason to study geoengineering. For decades, he has argued that politicians and the public can only decide whether interventions are worth deploying when armed with rigorous research. It's definitely not an elite club of scientists' job to decide what the public gets to know or not, Keith said. I think that's deeply unethical. In the end, this needs to be global. We need to build a field, he said.
All right, so this is something interesting too, right? Because this is not something that people can just experiment with and just try out. So far, it's all been theoretical. So far, it's just been done on the computer. No one's actually tried it, right?
Yes.
It starts here saying, so far, most research has been limited to computer modeling. And that makes sense because you don't want to just be sending things into the air and trying things out because that can affect a lot of people, okay? And while valuable, this computer modeling, while it is valuable, unforeseen variables are likely to make real-world scenarios more complex. What are we talking about in this sentence?
So unforeseen, something that is unforeseen is something that is something that you did not expect to happen. Mm-hmm. So unforeseen, so things that you don't expect to happen, variables. Variables are just basically just factors in your experiment are likely to make real world scenarios more complex. So basically, yesterday we said if you do this, it might cause this. And right now we don't know what the other causes could be.
Right.
Like we just know the world will get cooler. It won't be so hot. But what are the other factors that could make this, could be part of this equation?
Right. We can guess. We can maybe try to predict, but we don't know.
Yes.
Right? It reminds me of this phrase where we say, we don't know what we don't know. We don't even know that we don't know it.
Exactly.
Right? So these variables, these are unforeseen variables. We might think we can think of all the different scenarios. If this happens, then this will happen and this will happen and this is how we can compensate and fix for that. But then there might be things that will happen that we didn't anticipate or we didn't think about. So that makes things a lot more complex or complicated. Now, it says field research that would begin exploring these complexities has been difficult to get approved. Okay, two high-profile experiments, one in California and another in Sweden, were canceled in 2025 due to local opposition, right? And one of the people that were opposing this were this Nordic indigenous tribe. Okay, so when we're talking about the Nordic tribe, we're talking about belonging to or relating to Scandinavia, Finland, or Iceland. Okay, so most likely this Nordic indigenous tribe, they were in opposition to the trial or the experiment in Sweden. Right? And they expressed passionate concerns about potential impacts on weather patterns. So again, we're talking about the fact that when you're doing these experiments, you're in essence experimenting on people.
Yes.
And people don't like to be experimented on.
Well, I think we have this idea. I mean, there's an old phrase. It's called not in my backyard.
Yeah.
Yeah, NIMBY for short. So not in my backyard just means, sure, you can run the experiment. You can build that nuclear power station. I want nuclear power. I just don't want it in my neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Please build it in another place. Like build it far away from my house. But
Right. Sure,
I think we could, nuclear power is good. Just don't build it near my house.
Right.
And I think this is the same idea. Like whether it's indigenous or the local Aboriginal tribe, or, you know, other residents, they say, yeah, like maybe you can run that experiment, but just not where I live. Because if you run it where I live, maybe we're not going to get enough rain.
Yeah.
It's going to affect my crops.
Yeah.
Or maybe we get acid rain. I don't want my kids running around in acid rain.
Mm-hmm. Because we don't know what's going to happen. And I don't want to be affected.
I don't want to be the guinea pig.
Right.
Let somebody else be the guinea pig. Right? Guinea pig are the animals that we have in the research labs. They're the animals that we test things on first.
Yeah. So that's the problem, right? They want to figure it out. They want to begin exploring the potential of this geoengineering, but they are having a hard time getting approval for their experiments. All right. Now, we hear from physicist David Keith, and he was involved in the Sweden project, and he spent his career guided by the conviction that the unknowns are all the more reason to study geoengineering. Okay, so that's very interesting. You know, people are afraid of the unknowns. And the reason that some people are hesitant to even study this subject is because of the unknowns. But he's saying that those are actually the reasons that we should study geoengineering. And he says for decades, he has argued that politicians and the public can only decide whether interventions are worth deploying when armed with rigorous research. What do you think about that?
I'm really on the fence. On the fence means I'm really not quite decided on this because I do agree with Mr. Keefe. Like, if you don't have very good research, then we can't really decide for sure we shouldn't use solar geoengineering.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, when he's talking about rigorous research, we often think of being in a lab.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, what we're talking about is all these experiments that are field research.
Yeah.
Field research is just done in the real world.
Yeah.
So like whether it's Sweden or whether it's California, wherever they choose to do it, like this kind of research, like we really don't know the impact until we do it.
Yeah.
So he has a good point. We need to have better research to decide for sure or not whether we should try this. But the problem is any research we're doing here will affect people in real life.
Yeah.
So it's really hard.
It's complex.
It's really complicated.
Yeah.
Like it's really hard to say yes or no to this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, he has a quote here. He says, it's definitely not an elite club of scientists' job to decide what the public gets to know or not. I think that's deeply unethical. Why do you think he says that it's unethical?
Well, I think it's unethical because like anything that we do, for example, like solar engineering, is going to affect the whole world.
Yes.
So we can't just have maybe like 100 people decide for 8 billion people.
Right.
That's the right thing to do.
Yes.
So I think he wants this to be out being discussed, you know, in the media, being discussed by governments so that people can have a voice in this.
Right.
But the truth is, the more people you get involved in having a voice, the harder it will be to get this passed.
Yeah.
There's just so much controversy around
this. Yes. And I think part of the problem is that there's just not enough information.
Yes.
There's not enough data to be able to decide one way or the other.
Yeah. And we won't have enough data until we do the field research.
Yeah.
So that's the hard part.
It's kind of like a catch-22.
Yeah. Like you don't do the field research, you don't have enough data. But if we do the field research, somebody's going to get affected.
Yeah. And that's the problem, too. It's just if you don't do the research, you don't have enough data. But without the data, people aren't going to approve the field research.
That's right.
You know, so it's just kind of this, well, which comes first?
Yeah, this is really, really hard.
Yeah.
The chicken come first or the egg come first?
Yeah.
Our classic chicken and the egg problem.
Yeah. And he says, in the end, this needs to be global. We need to build a field. Now, the field here, we're not talking about like a farm or,
yes,
or land, right? What kind of field are we talking about here?
We're talking about the field of solar geoengineering.
Right.
Like when you have a field, usually we think of a field, it means there is a lot of research, there's a lot of experts. There's
right.
a lot of expertise. So it's not just a theory. It's an actual field.
Right.
I mean, there are many people working in this field.
Yeah.
Many people who are increasing knowledge and application in this field.
Yeah, so a field of study, a field of research, you know, we're talking about, like, for example, cancer research, or we're talking about, you know, environmental research. These are all different fields, right? So he's talking about building a field, meaning building an education system, building a community of researchers, building, accumulating data, you know, university courses, things like that, a field, right? You want to, and I think that's, I would agree with that. I think this is something that we do need to discuss. It's not something that we should just sweep under the rug or just kind of ignore or suppress. I think this is an issue that we do need to kind of face, right? And ignoring it is not going to solve anything. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
I agree. I think we do need to study this further. But again, it comes back to the chicken egg problem.
Yeah.
Like, we need to do the field research. To make this a field, we need proper research in real life. And then where should we do this so it impacts the least people?
Right.
And then how should we do this?
Yeah.
But as the world does warm up, we do need to explore every alternative.
Yeah. So what do you think about this, friends? We'd love to hear from you. Do you think geoengineering is a good idea or is it a bad idea? Should we employ these different methods to cool the Earth, or should we figure out ways to stop causing the Earth to heat up? Which is better? Let us know. Write to us. We'd love to hear from you. And as always, join us again for our next article so that we can continue to learn more about the world and continue to improve our English. Thanks for joining us today, and we'll see you next time. My name is Campbell.
I'm Rebecca.
Take care.
Bye-bye.